keep your pieces of paper in hand really clear of the microphones, because I think there's a lot of noise coming through. Okay, so first question, just raise your hands. Party.
Yep. Can you hear me all right? I just wanted to know a little bit about daily life on the shuttle when you're in space. Things we take for granted down here, like sleeping in the day, sleeping at night, and staying awake in the day, meals, having showers, stuff like that. What's it like when you're on the space shuttle?
Okay, it's kind of interesting actually, because you have to readapt to a whole new lifestyle when you're in zero gravity living. And things you take for granted you can't do in zero gravity. Like, I have a pen in my hand right now. If I was to let this go, it just falls, of course. If I let it go in zero gravity, it would just float in front of me. And invariably what would happen is it would float away and be lost. And the first thing that happens when you're in zero gravity is you're forever losing things. You can't put anything down. And you lose things in no time. Sleeping and eating in zero gravity is an adjustment, but you actually adjust to it remarkably easy, and I found that I got used to it and enjoyed it very much. It was surprising to me how quickly I did adapt to zero gravity for day-to-day living, particularly when you spend a lot of time there, as I did on the Mir program. It was you just come to accept it as the normal way to be. It does make complications though, because everything has to be tied down or velcroed down, even your toothbrush. So it does make life complicated. There's no doubt about that. I think, in fact, that question inspires me to start showing the video that I have of my time on Mir. And what I'd like to do is just run this video so that you guys can look at it, and I'll still be able to see you, but you will be able to look at the video as it goes through. It's about a 30-minute video, and it will give you a sense, I think, of what it's like to spend a lot of time in space and live and function. And there's no sound with the video, and most of it's self-explanatory, but it will just my experience with life as I launched. And this is the day of launch, as I came out to the launch pad and waving my Australian hat, and there I am, going up into space for 141 days, getting into the shuttle. It was January 22nd last year. It was just an extraordinary experience to have been able to undertake that. And I'm going to let this video run so that you can enjoy it, and go back to you for some more questions. Go ahead.
In terms of hygiene, like, how do you clean yourself and urinate?
There is a scene of personal hygiene that's coming up, although I don't show a video of the latter part of your question. We didn't actually have a shower facility on Mir or on the shuttle, so we use basically sponge baths where you wet a towel down and with soap and sponge yourself off with that, and it works out quite well. It's very labour intensive. It works out quite well. This view you see now, incidentally, was over the heads of the flight deck crew looking out the windows of the shuttle during the launch. And that jolt you just saw a few moments ago was when the engines ignited and they left the pad. And they're going up through some clouds here, you'll see in a minute, into space. The latter part of your question, as I referred to, you do the same way up there as you do down here, but perhaps with a little more care.
I was just wondering what you actually feel about Australia's lack of involvement in the International Space Station.
I'm very gratified to hear you ask that, because I've always found it a little bit depressing that there is not an involvement, and I don't understand why there's not, because Australia has the high technology and the education system and the research labs and the engineering that it would require in order to be an active member of that big program. You know, there's a lot of countries involved in the space station, a lot of European countries, Russia, Japan, Canada, the US, and Brazil. And I think it is unfortunate that Australia has decided not to be an active participant. But I hope that you, as you go into your careers, will take the message to your colleagues, associates, and political leaders that you think Australia should be involved, and start building a sort of a groundswell of support for developing that involvement. Back to you.
I read your biography, and it appears that everything you've studied and everywhere you've worked were all steps to the single goal to travel in space. Your decision to train in Russia, learn Russian, and live on board Mir has made you a valuable resource to NASA. Now that you've achieved your goal, what do you plan to do? Do you hope to return to space, stay with NASA, or follow a different career?
If you look at my career path, the initial direction wasn't focused towards goal of becoming an astronaut. It wasn't until it was later in my career that I recognized I could do that. And then I made some very serious career choices in order to develop credentials to get selected for an astronaut. After all, they typically have a couple of thousand applicants for about 20 positions, so you've got to be very determined. I want to fly in space again. That's my goal. I'd like to fly again at some point. Perhaps a short flight on the shuttle, perhaps a long flight then on the International Space Station. It remains to be seen, but for now I'm staying with NASA to continue in the flight program. And that's what I have flight status now, and I'm awaiting the possibility of being reassigned at some point in the future, perhaps in the next year. We'll see. That view we just had was the first time I went on board the Mir space station, which is going down on the tunnels into it with a handheld camera, coming into the central module here of the Mir space station where I lived and worked for all that time. And this is just with the crew on board the Mir space station, the shuttle crew and the Russian cosmonauts. Back to you.
Was it always your dream to become an astronaut, or did you take up your particular area of study and then did that sort of develop from there?
It was more like the second category that you described. I've always been excited by the space program because I grew up with some amazing things that were happening in the space program. We're coming up on the 30-year anniversary next week of the moon landing, and that was, I think, one of the most extraordinary human adventures that we could undertake. And I watched that avidly on live television, black and white then, and I just thought, what an extraordinary adventure that is. What a wonderful program it would be to be involved in and to become an astronaut. But you know, for a young kid growing up in South Australia, you know, careers of astronauts aren't very prevalent. Make good football, but you can't play a lot of, you can't be an astronaut. So I didn't consider it very realistic. But it wasn't until I'd worked in, become an engineer because I was doing things technical, and worked in the aerospace community that I started to think more seriously about it. And in the late 80s, I actually started to focus towards it as a determined goal. This view you see here is the Mir space station after the shuttle was leaving. It's a beautiful sight to see the Mir space station orbiting over the blue oceans like this. It really was an extraordinary way to spend 20 weeks. Back to you.
What do you believe Australia should be with regards to space exploration and travel?
I think Australia just needs to be involved in some capacity. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see active participation. Australia has unique circumstances that make it an ideal candidate to be involved. For example, it's got northern regions near the equator which would make ideal launch sites for rockets. You know, as many of you I'm sure know, there's a considerable advantage in launching a rocket near the equator rather than higher latitudes. Australia provides that. facilities. And I think Australia could even be involved in that. It could do a collaborative venture with a vehicle supplier to launch them here. And the benefits to Australia would be huge if communication satellites were being launched from Australia, because there'd be such a rich, strong technical infrastructure that would build up around that activity. and the capabilities of that technical infrastructure would diffuse out into the community and enrich the community. I think it would be wonderful to be involved in that. Australia could be involved in the research and development that goes on in the space program, and could be involved in developing experiments to fly in space. There's all kinds of ways. It just takes a will and interest on the part of the political leaders to make that happen. Back to you.
Just quickly, the people around the sides and the back can ask questions.
We've got a handheld one.
Yep. Dr. Thomas, how do you think in the short term we as students can increase or try to increase and enhance Australia's involvement in the space activities? Because a lot of us here would like to do something, but we're not sure exactly how to go about it.
Well, what you're doing right now to organise yourselves into a collective voice is perhaps the most positive thing that you can do, because when you put your minds together, you will start to lay out pathways. I think what you need to do is to do that, become a collective voice, and get a message across to business leaders, community leaders, but mostly to political leaders, through hosting forums and through talking to the press and so on, to generate that sort of basic groundswell of interest that you need. And from a technical point of view, you know, start developing the credentials that a space program needs. Travel and work in the space program in other parts of the world and take that knowledge back to Australia with you. That's how it happens. It takes a long time, but it can be done. I think the first thing is for Australia, though, is going to have to be on the part of political leaders to recognize that Australia needs to step forward and play a proactive role in this activity. I would like to see Australia to be an active participant in the space program. Australia has a great engineering capacity to do that, but I don't want to see the way it's gone, for example, of the automobile industry, where the huge natural resources of Australia dug out of the ground, sent to other countries, turned into cars and automobiles, which are then brought back into Australia. You know, that's silly. That just doesn't make sense. And Australia does not need to follow that paradigm as it enters the 21st century. It needs to take a proactive role in all of these ventures, and that's what I would like to see happen, and that's where you contribute as you enter your professional careers. Back to you.
Okay. Do you still remember Russian? No, that's not the question.
Da.
So can I ask you in Russian?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Can I ask you the question in Russian?
Commissioner, вам нужно поговорить немедленно.
Okay. Ваша поездка на Мир в последнем году очень изменила ваше тело и состояние его. За этот год, что вы уже на Земле были, вы достали все назад? Ну, или, ну как, кости все такое, нормально стало опять?
Your Russian's very good.
Okay, I'll be a cosmonaut. Did you?
I can't hear when people laugh. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay, again. I'll say it in English. All right, your journey to Mir last year had an adverse effect on your body. In the year that has passed here, have you regained some or all of your previous fitness, and what do you plan to do next?
It does. Flight into space is not easy. Очень трудно. Сейчас вы себе сейчас очень хорошо и нормально. Actually, you do suffer some deleterious effects when you fly in space. Because of the zero gravity, of course, you can do things to mitigate those to some extent. But then when you get back, you have to readapt to Earth's gravity and put muscles to work that you haven't used for a long time. And it's a very interesting experience to do that, actually, because when I landed, I felt gravity for the first time as if I never felt it before in my life. I felt all my internal organs being pulled down, and the weight of my legs. I couldn't believe, for example, the effort required to pick up one leg and place it in front of another. And the body sort of complains that you readapt after a while. But it was a fascinating experience to be weightless for that period of time. That was the first part of your question. What was the second part of your question?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's not important. But spasiba.
Spasiba, pardon.
In space, you're obviously restricted socially, emotionally, and physically. What would you do about something like sexual frustration in space? I knew people would giggle, but it's more a biological question than anything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys go right for the jugular, don't you? In space, you do have limited resources for everything. all your recreation is limited. One of the key elements of living successfully in space for a long period of time is to learn how to use the limited resources up there for your own personal needs and psychological recreation and refreshment. You know, you have movies and books and things, and those are what you need to use in order to enjoy the experience. You know, the crews that have flown long-duration flights have been mixed crews, but I don't think they've been paired couples. That will happen one day, of course. There's no reason why it won't. It's just a natural part of human life, and as we expand into space, all the facets of human life will go there with us. Back to you.
I was just wondering, do you hope to put something back into Australia in regards to the space industry if the opportunity arose?
Oh, yes, certainly. I'm trying to do that now with, you know, the restrictions that are placed on me, but to get a message across to people that there are opportunities that Australia needs to be starting to think about, and trying to get that message to political leaders. What I end up doing when I'm no longer flying in space remains to be seen. That's at some point in my future, of course, and where and what I'll be doing at that point, I don't know at this stage, but we shall see.
Dr. Thomas, it's about time that we wrap it up. So thank you very much for your time. Could we maybe get... thanks for your time. It's been fantastic. Most of the students got their questions answered, I think. Just once again, thanks for doing this for Brisbane as well. I realise you've given up most of your evening for this, and thanks also to NASA and all of the people that helped set this up. Yeah, thanks. I think we should give you a round of applause. It was fantastic. Okay, we might